right. If I like just told you what I thought about the schedule announcement and game times and stuff like that, it might be the shortest Village Vice ever. And so we're going to talk about other stuff today. He's Zach. I'm Brad. Thanks for being here for brand new Village Vice. What? What?
Nothing.
What's so funny?
Nothing.
All right. Before we talk about the schedule, what is so funny?
I just hate it when you travel. That's all. Yesterday was so pleasantly smooth, and we go to record. This is our second attempt at Village Vice today.
Yeah.
And yeah, we didn't change anything. And now Brad's internet doesn't work, so he's on his phone.
Literally nothing changed. I mean, I didn't move the computer, didn't move anything.
Yeah, no, it's not your fault. No, totally. It's just frustrating. Yeah.
The weather was perfect yesterday, weather's perfect today. Literally nothing. That's the frustrating part. It's like if you can
control something. But thank goodness for technology twofold. One can be frustrating, but also there are other options. So
yeah, that's
joining
right
from the phone today, which is fine. This seems much better.
So okay. Bad day for three-star U yesterday. Three-star U. Man, you know, they keep doing this stuff. They're not gonna be called three-star U.
Yeah, no, you see, one, I love that Auburn folks have leaned into it because it's objectively awesome. Like, so good. And I also could just picture Golish and the staff, like, anytime they get somebody, I could, like, almost picture them being like, three-star you, baby! Three-star! I could picture them doing it, which is so fun. But also, like, people have quit doing it because Auburn's leaned into it, and now they're like, oh, this is actually a pretty good class.
Yeah.
And it's complete, and like there's not a whole lot of glaring weaknesses. And I mean, they're winning at positions that matter on the trenches. No, bad day for three things.
Okay.
Bad day for the three-star U narrative.
Yep.
Bad day to be sleeves on Brad Law, literally gone. And bad day to be Brad Law's internet.
Yep. Yeah. Bad day. Bad day to be maybe future quarterbacks playing Auburn with an edge rusher coming in, top 10 player in the state. I said this before the internet went wonky. So this is like second pass at it.
Right.
The way you judge successful classes, I think you can judge them by a few different metrics. Are you getting top 10 guys in states? And are you getting top 10 guys at positions? And Auburn has done that with this latest as a top 10 player out of the state of Maryland. So, you know, you fill a class with guys that are top 10 in their state, you're going to get a class that's maybe top five in your conference, which is top third. And that's going to enable you to win more games than otherwise. So I like this for a lot of reasons.
Yeah. Ryan Jackson. You know, I've talked about this elsewhere, but he kind of reminds me of like a younger Kieron Crawford. I think their builds are similar. I think, you know, obviously we were looking at Kieron coming from Arkansas State. Ryan's coming from high school, but see some similarities there. And I mean that obviously in a very complimentary way, talking about it in an excited manner. So we'll see how he develops. You know, the other edge that Auburn seems to be in a great spot for, Pace, who commits a week from tomorrow. Hopefully he chooses the Auburn Tigers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, their measurables are pretty similar, but they do look different physically.
Yeah.
Which is good. You know, obviously you'll take as many edges as possible, but you do want them to have different strengths and weaknesses. You know, I do think the way they'll develop could be slightly different. You know, I think Pace could be more of your complete guy, maybe even grow into a strong side end if that's what's needed. I do think Jackson, Ryan, I think he's going to be more of just your rush end, which is super, super important. I don't want to make it sound like I'm minimizing that, but I do think that will be a key difference between the two, which is great.
Yeah. No, and again, it's not a direct apples to apples comp to Kieron Crawford, but right. Remember, Kieron was he didn't play that much football before he got to college. So there was a little less. Or it was a little more raw coming out than Ryan Jackson. So, love it. Yep. It just keeps on, the hits keep on coming for the staff, and they're doing great work. Okay. So, yesterday, the conference announced some kickoff times. They announced kickoff windows for a bunch of games. And kind of predictably, Auburn fans were chirping about it. They were upset about it because last year, after we got all those night games, this year Auburn didn't get any night game. They got two home night games, Southern Miss and Florida, and there won't be another home game at Jordan-Hare Stadium after the Florida game. Home night game, rather, after the Florida game. Probably the only night games will be Tennessee in Knoxville.
Sure.
And then the Iron Bowl will either be 3:30 or 6:30, kind of depending on how things fall.
Yeah. And thanks for letting us play on the road at night in those stadiums, SEC. Yeah. Appreciate that.
And to that, I just go, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I don't think Alex Golish and his staff care one bit what time they play these games. And I think he's instilling in the team an identity that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you play, where you play, when you play. All that matters is how you play. And I think it's really healthy if the fan base takes on that same kind of attitude. Do we prefer night games? Yeah. Has it made a whole lot of difference over the last 5 years?
It has not. No. I do think there's two separate conversations here. And I, what you're saying is correct. Does Alex Golish and this team care? Alex Golish may care from the aspect of recruiting and visits and getting, you know, new guys on campus, especially like, you know, guys who are about to be juniors that are part of the 2028 class. Like, I think he might prefer that. And I'm sure they're going to be loaded up for the Florida game, which will be good and strategic and intentional.
Mm-hmm.
But there is another conversation of what is best for the fans and what is best for local businesses and what is best for just the Auburn community as a whole. Take the football program out of it.
Yeah.
And night games are better.
Yeah.
You got people staying in hotels. You got people staying around all day. Like the money that this community needs to thrive, it does have an impact. Does it have an impact on the final score of games? To your point, probably not as much as we think it does.
Right.
But I do think it does, you know, for a fan base that has been incredibly loyal.
Yeah.
Incredibly resilient, incredibly passionate, and to some extent patient. I want to be careful with that, but I think the SEC should have given them more, and I think that's a mistake.
That's not the SEC's job to do it, to make a decision based on what's best for local businesses or a fan base. I mean, we do have the Florida game at night of our what?
Oh, I disagree with that, Brad. I mean, let's go back to one of the questions that really stood out to me when Commissioner Sankey took the podium to start SEC Media Days last year. There was a British reporter that asked, hey, the game's getting more international. Will the NFL, you're seeing other conferences do it. Will the SEC do it? And Sankey, without skipping a beat, it was my favorite answer of last year's Media Day, was, no, the strength of this conference is in the local communities, and it's these on-campus games of our 16 campuses throughout the Southeastern Conference.
Yeah.
So allow those to flex. Yeah. Allow those, the strength of your conference to flex if you firmly believe that. So, no, I disagree. I do think it's not their sole job, but it is a responsibility for the SEC. I strongly believe that.
So what game would you have changed? What game would you have put at night?
Oh, that's easy.
Okay.
That's easy. And you knew what I'm going to say. It's LSU.
Okay, but on that day, you also have, like, Texas A&M's at Alabama, and Ole Miss is at Texas, or Texas is at Ole Miss. But those are two other games that day. Are you putting all three games in primetime? Are you putting one of those other games in the 11 o'clock window?
It's a solid counter-argument, Brad. That's a solid counter-argument. I don't have a great response to that.
Yeah. I think that if
Are those other schools getting night games?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure they are.
Right.
Yeah.
So do you divvy it up and look, like, let's I mean, all of those games that you're discussing are like, all right, like those teams could be competing for college football playoff spots, but read anything from the national point of view or anything from the conference point of view.
Yeah.
Everything is like, oh my gosh, LSU is the greatest thing ever right now.
Yeah.
So if you're using that argument there, to act like this won't have college football implications.
Yeah.
I think is dishonest based on, and look, I think LSU is lower than what most people see them as.
Yeah.
You know that. I think you agree, whatever.
Agreed.
But that's not the narrative around LSU. So,
but again, I love that you bring that up because this was one of my favorite parts of the kind of the fallout from everything last night with the schedule announcements was everybody's talking about LSU going to Tennessee. Oh, Lane Kiffin goes back to Tennessee again. That feels like an old storyline, but everybody's talking about it. Oh, Lane Kiffin goes back to Ole Miss. Oh, here we go. And clearly that's a huge story and we get it. And, you know, heaven forbid we make the story about the game. We got to make it about other stuff. But nobody's really talking that much about LSU coming to Auburn. It's not really a storyline around the conference. And it's because Auburn hasn't had the winning season in 5 years and whatever. And okay, I get it. That's a dangerous game for LSU coming to Jordan-Hare in a game that they are absolutely overlooking, at least at this point in the year.
Yeah, I think you can make that case for a handful of teams. Ole Miss is the same way. I think it's kind of Auburn sandwiched in between two games that will have major CFP implications. So, look, the schedule's never going to be perfect. It's never going to be fair. But I do think I think they could have done more in this situation. But Auburn will get night games. It just, after Florida, they just won't be at home.
If Florida had been 11 a.m. and LSU had been a night game, do you think that's easier for people to stomach? Still the same number, but the fact that you get a night game in October as opposed to nothing after September?
I mean, I think fans have romanticized that LSU game a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Now, you and I think we agree. If the night game really does give you a few extra points in whatever direction, whether it's the offense scoring more, the defense allowing less, I'd rather the Florida game be the one at night. But I do think the average fan would rather, I think this fan base is romantic, and I don't think it's wrong that they've done this because of the storylines around it. But I think that LSU game has been romanticized a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a legit rivalry game, and I'm glad it's back on the schedule. But yes, if you give me the choice between the two, give me Florida over LSU for sure.
Because of opponent, or because of where it is on the schedule, or because of how important it is, because of those other things. Why are you? I agree.
Yeah,
but why are you taking that?
I think twofold. Number one, where it is on the schedule gives you a chance to build some early season momentum. And because I think people view Golish and Summerall as more similar, and then they're going to compare the two of them more apples to apples than they will Golish and Kiffin in their first years at their respective schools. So I think a head-to-head win over Summerall does more at that point in the season than the head-to-head win over LSU. Although a head-to-head win over LSU would be huge. You want all of them. But that's why I would take that.
I agree. I would rather Auburn be doing, everything kind of point Auburn's direction in the Florida game versus the LSU game. I'm with you.
Okay. With you. All right. Lastly, do we need to go? Do we have time?
We got a few more minutes. Today's show, though, brought to you by AUShirts.com. We've got several fun designs there, and we've got more coming, including I Don't Super Care gear by Golish. That's our best seller. And so, that's super, super fun. We also have two newer designs, but Fred Gaskin, his name is Fred Gaskin. You guys have been asking for weeks, months about getting, his name is Fred Gaskin gear. It's with Fred's permission. We are splitting the profits with Fred. So if you buy that, you're supporting an Auburn athlete. So go to AUShirts.com and check out a lot of the stuff that we have. A lot of people ask where we get the Boog hats.
Yep.
AUShirts.com is where you get all that stuff.
Love it. This is a good week for the Boog hats, too, by the way.
That's right.
It's kind of fitting with guys announcing commitments, too. You just put on the Boog hat. What if, Zach, instead of the Auburn hat, there was just a Boog hat that a commit put on?
That'd be electric. That'd be awesome.
How do we make that? That's the next thing we need to try to make that happen.
Yeah, I don't know if you can, like, I think it's by state on if you can actually do an NIL deal when they're in high school or not. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. All right. That'd be incredible. Texas Tech is interesting to me. The more I follow this story, the more interesting it gets. Because now the Big 12 is going to vote whether or not to try to get the university presidents to punish Texas Tech if they play Brennan Sorsby. And their athletic director and their head coach came out yesterday. And what do you expect them to say? They're going to support their player.
Right.
But it's this narrative that, like, guys, he has a gambling addiction. We're not just going to abandon him. We're not just going to throw him out on the street. Everybody uses sensational language and dramatic language all the time.
Right.
It's just, but, like, you know, what's best for him is not to just leave him out in the cold with no options. So we're going to nurture him through this and also play him in games. There's a middle ground that can come from that. And I waffle back and forth, Zach. I don't know from one day to the next whether I care if he plays or not.
I'm trying to think if this was happening in the SEC. So, I mean, let's say it's not the same thing. I want to be very clear. It's not the same thing. But there are questions on, like, Trinidad Chambliss, who I think right now is the best quarterback in the SEC. There are questions about his eligibility and some controversy. Now, obviously, this had nothing to do with what Trinidad did or didn't do. This was just right. An eligibility conversation. Yeah. Want to stress that. But if it wasn't, and if we really felt like Trinidad Chambliss, like, shouldn't be eligible, would you see other schools in the conference freaking out over it? I just don't think you would.
Yeah. No, it's because Texas Tech has become the villain because they have opened up the checkbook and they have bought their way. So the thought is around the country, they bought their way to a playoff spot last year.
Yeah, good for them. That's super great.
Other teams.
To act like Miami didn't do that all the way to the national championship last year is insane. Right.
Exactly. So did everybody else. So does everybody else. That's the game right now. So is it because they're not in the club? They're not in the old money club? Is that the issue? Is that why they're hated by the old money?
I'm also blown away. Like, the Big 12, I think, needs Texas Tech right now. So I'm also a little surprised. Like, you're seeing it from other presidents. You're not really seeing a whole lot from the top of the Big 12. Because I think at the top of the Big 12, they're like,
yeah,
we don't have a seat at the national table if Texas Tech isn't good. You're looking over, it's like, BYU solid, but, like, I don't think they can quite get there. So they got to be careful. And, like, with the way that you split all the money and all that, like, Texas Tech being good helps the conference.
Yeah.
So I'm a little surprised at all the backlash.
Yeah.
Because also, like, to your point, what are you supposed to do? A judge, now, whether it's fair or not, like, that's literally not our job. That is literally the judge's job.
Yeah.
It looks fishy. I'm not disagreeing with that at all, but
I
don't know what you're supposed to do in that situation. But just kind of coming together as a conference and saying, we're not going to – like, imagine if the SEC was like, we're not going to play Ole Miss this year.
Yeah.
Because there's disagreements on, you know, Trinidad Chambliss's eligibility. That's ridiculous. That would never happen.
No, it wouldn't. You're right. And this is not a moral argument. This is not, it's okay to gamble on your team or it's not.
Clearly it's not. Separate, and it seems like that rule is pretty, like, black and white. And for some reason it's not applying here. Like, I get that. That's not what we're discussing. I'm just trying to think if you picked up that situation and put it here or put it in the Big Ten, I think it's like that's fishy. Okay. All right. Yeah. We play them on, you know, we plan at the end of September. We'll start prepping on them a few weeks out. Like, that's
kind of like Alabama and the Bediako situation. Like, they broke a rule that was a very clear black and white rule, and people in the conference are like, you know, this is fishy. This really isn't right. And at the end of the day, what? Okay, we'll go play them. Go.
Yeah.
You know, let's go.
Right. Yeah. The whole thing is bizarre to me, but that's been the Big 12, right? I mean, it's been dramatic. Yeah. Kind of chaotic. It's kind of their personality at this point.
Kind of what they want. Yeah.
Yeah. And
gets headlines.
To some extent, they need that. They need some of the drama because, like, the product's not good. So they've got to figure that out. The product's not good outside of Texas Tech, and they're wanting to sabotage that, which is very odd. It's very strange.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, just some nuggets today. Auburn also picked up an outfielder in the baseball transfer portal.
Yes, I'm going to ask you about that. I want to talk more about that in the post show, as well as sounds like something bad happened to you yesterday that you said that was a story for the post show as well.
Yeah, we learned a lesson yesterday.
Please become a member. You get access to the Village Vice post show. You get access to Afternoon Delight as well as film breakdowns. And had somebody else reach out about, you know, potentially doing some more member exclusive content. So working on that as well. So please like the video, please subscribe, all that good stuff, and become a member. Would help the show out a ton. Brad, that does it for today's show.
Thanks everybody for being a part of it. Remember, until next time, everyone has vices. Make sure Village Vice is one of yours.